Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's your girl Cy Brown. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and checking out another lesson on Life Remixed Radio. I come at you live every single day, well, Monday through Friday, weekdays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. You can get and just check in and listen to these free lessons on different subjects and different topics that I talk about just by logging on to www.liferemixedradio.com. I'm really happy to be with you, and I hope the information that's shared with you today satisfies a query that you have or helps you work through a challenge that you have, really just so you can live your best life. If you get a chance, please log on to Impact Life Coaching, www.impactlifecoaching.info, and you'll find a host of information about my life coaching programs, the rates, the different types of programs that I offer, the email coaching, the Great Beginnings call that we have every Monday night. Everything is on the website, impactlifecoaching.info. And for those of you who are seeking to have a little bit more of a self-directed, if you would like to take a little bit more of a self-directed approach with your personal development and enlightenment and enrichment, please log on to impactlearningcenter.info, www.impactlearningcenter.info, and all of my lessons are available for download, and it's an instant download. So once you pay, or some of the lessons are totally complimentary, once you pay or complete the form, it automatically downloads to your computer. So you don't have to worry about downloading any, you don't have to worry about purchasing anything. It instantly downloads to your computer. And if you're using a public computer, we can shoot it to you via email as well. So there's a whole host of ways that you can get access and gain access to the different levels of coaching and the different levels of service that I've made a personal commitment in my life to help you with. So I'm very excited that you're joining me. And as we move on, today's lesson for the entire today's show is dealing with difficult people. And I really am going to get into sharing tips and suggestions on dealing with difficult people when not dealing with them or just ignoring them is not a viable option. And really, dealing with difficult people has really come right to a big hand touching the tip of my nose, because a couple of friends of mine are going through situations where they're dealing with difficult people, and it just seemed like a theme that's resonating right now just among people that are, you know, really experiencing some challenges. So I really wanted to address how to deal with difficult people. I'll share with you, some years ago I was working at a hotel, and there was a very nice woman. Well, let me just give you a little bit of a history. I worked at this hotel many years ago when I first started my professional career as a receptionist. And I had a great relationship with everybody. Everything went really, really well. Loved it. And I just, left to move on to a better job, graduated college, and just moved on. Well, a few years ago, I was working with a client, and I had to host an event, so I suggested this particular hotel. And as the event was going on, I was sitting outside of the meeting room, and a woman came up to me, and she actually was the director of catering, and she was checking on me, checking on the group, making sure the group was okay. And I said, everything is going wonderfully well. And I said, you know, quiet as it's kept, I used to work here years ago in your sales office, and we started talking. Do you remember this person? And she looked right into my eyes and said, do you want a job? And I said, what in the world is this? Like, I'm thinking in my brain so quickly, where is this coming from? And then I realized, as quickly as the thoughts were processing in my head, I really did need a job, because the person with whom I was working was about to travel overseas, and he was a client. He was paying me every single week. But once he left, he wouldn't be paying me, and I really didn't have any other clients. So the way the proposition was made is, she said, listen, I don't have an assistant. I need somebody to help me get some stuff out of the office. You seem to, you know, have had a great relationship with everybody. It's just for a couple of weeks. I said, perfect. The next day I called her back and told her I'll take it. 6-week job, $13 an hour, I will take it. So for these few weeks, I actually started enjoying what I was doing, and the money was getting better, and, you know, the environment was nice, and they had an opening for a sales manager position, or they were going to be hiring another manager. And through the course of the years that I was not working at this particular hotel, I had really developed myself into a solid sales manager, event production person or expert, negotiating contracts with hotels and overnight accommodations and food and beverage and square footage of rooms, really, really became quite good at it. So I guess over these weeks, they were really testing my mettle just to see if I really knew my stuff, and I did. So at the end of the 6 weeks, the word started buzzing that I was going to be brought on full time, and I was quiet. And I knew what was really going on. I had some private conversations behind the scenes. So I knew I was going to be hired full-time as a manager with a tremendous increase in salary. I mean, a humongous increase in salary. It's just that they didn't know where they were going to put me within the sales office, if I was going to work on the catering side, planning events, or if I was going to work on the hotel side where I was selling group rooms to events and conferences and conventions. So after the conversations went on and I interviewed with the general manager, I actually decided that I wanted to work on the group rooms side, where I wanted to sell bulk meeting rooms for family reunions and things like that, just conventions and conferences and fraternity outings and retreats and things like that. I did not want to work on the catering side, because working on the catering side with food and beverage is very, very challenging and very, very it's a very meticulous job. You have to make sure that there's red wine and not white wine. You have to make sure there's mashed potatoes with the skin on versus standard mashed potatoes. I mean, it's a very meticulously handled job. You have to be very careful when you work with catering, because people can pay upwards of hundreds of dollars a plate, and if they want French cut green beans instead of whole green beans, you will be held accountable for it. So based on that, just based on my desire to work on the sales side, which was a lot easier, the announcement was made. But if you remember, I was sharing the person who brought me in originally into the fray was the director of catering. So this woman who actually brought me into the property, showed me around, reintroduced me to everybody, felt betrayed that when an offer was made for me to become a sales manager at this very prestigious hotel, I decided to work for the director of sales and not the director of catering. Well, needless to say, she gave me hell. And when I say hell, I mean she did not make it easy for me at every turn possible, to the point where I am a grown woman. The last time I checked, married with children, and she brought me to tears on several occasions. Let me give you a for instance. I had a client come in that needed a block of rooms for a week. Well, if you have someone coming into a hotel for a week, obviously it's some type of professional retreat. They are going to require food and beverage. So now my core responsibility based on my job was to make sure that these people had proper accommodations, they had overnight accommodations, they were picked up from the hotel, and a host of other things necessary to make sure their stay was comfortable. Now, it was my responsibility to also work with a catering manager to make sure all of their breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, and snacks, and cocktail parties were really, really, in line with what they were looking for. But since this piece of business was so big, the director of catering made an executive decision that she was going to work with me. And I said, oh, no, what am I going to do? I would suggest scrambled eggs. She would suggest waffles. I would suggest a flat fee of $10 inclusive, and she said, no, we have to charge them a la carte. I mean, at every possible turn, she made it increasingly difficult for me to do my job, to do what I was supposed to do and be accountable to my boss. This is a $90,000 piece of business, and she gave me hell top to bottom. Well, at this point, I had to learn at this defining moment, either I'm going to have to deal with this extremely difficult person who has made it her mission to make my life miserable, or retreat. And that's why I put, you know, just kind of in the notes about today's topic, that sometimes dealing with difficult people, you can't just decide not to deal with them. You can't just say, I'm going to ignore this person, because in some settings, that's just not an option. You can't do that with your children. I have two teenagers who can be extremely difficult at times. But you know something? I don't have the option of just not dealing with them or ignoring them or wishing them to go away. It just won't work. Here's a classic case of dealing with a difficult coworker. You can deal with difficult parents. As parents of, as baby boomers are dealing with aging parents and quite often dealing with children who are in college, they're dealing with the dynamic of two polarizing generations. So imagine trying to deal with a teenager and then deal with your parents. Parents, aging parents and baby boomers dealing with aging parents is very difficult. I see it every day within my own family. It's not easy. You can't just not deal with your mother or not just deal with your father. Perhaps you can, but we all know that's not necessarily the right thing to do. Think about friends and neighbors. A dear friend of mine, she moved into this great apartment building in North Jersey, a very prestigious area in North Jersey, and her downstairs neighbor and her boyfriend make noise all night long. And it's not that kind of intimate noise. They're just noisy. And she knocked on the door. Can you please? I get up very early for work. You know, I have to get up before 5 o'clock, sometimes 4, 4:30 in the morning. Can you please keep it down? They became very obnoxious and very belligerent. And to move, especially in this economy right now, is not that viable of an option, just to say, I'm going to move. Sometimes, I don't know if you've heard the expression, it's better to deal with the devil that you know than the devil that you don't know. So to pack up and move and to move someplace else just because you have noisy neighbors may not be the best thing. That probably is not the best way to handle the situation. So, you know, in that vein, we really have to learn how to deal with difficult people. I know Orson Card said once, among my most prized possessions are words that I have never spoken. And sometimes dealing with difficult people, it's really not in your best interest to fight, to yell. There's many other ways on how to deal with difficult people, and that's what we're going to get into during this lesson today. The first thing I had to do to deal with this difficult, extremely cantankerous, middle-aged woman who was very resentful that I did not work for her and opted to work for another director, is I had to learn her. I had to learn what made her tick. I had to learn what she liked. I had to learn what her boundaries were. I had to learn what she accepted, what she didn't accept, what she expected of me. And I knew my relationship with her was not going to be perfect. And unfortunately, I wasted so much time trying to avoid her and trying not to deal with her that I lost very, very valuable time in learning who she was, what her likes were, and what she didn't like. And because I never took the time to learn about her, who she was, what her likes and dislikes were, I lost so much time. So when the moment came for us to actually work intimately together, I was like a fish out of water. I was so totally lost, didn't know what to do, didn't know how to handle her in meetings. We would go into meetings with the client, and she would slam me at every opportunity. And I really, and I'm telling you, I would literally come home in tears, and my husband is scratching his head like, you are a strong woman. How can you allow another woman to send you home in tears? And I'm like, but you just don't understand. She's so mean to me. She's not nice to me. And it finally dawned on me, I really had to learn this person. And I kind of knew, just knowing who I am and understanding who I am and my own knowledge of self, knowing my own strengths and weaknesses, knowing my own likes and dislikes, it allowed me an opportunity to be a little bit more enlightened walking into the situation. Now, all of you, or many of you, or most of you, a good percentage of you that listen to Life Remix Radio every single day, we're all on that path to personal enlightenment, to spiritual enlightenment, to professional development, which, in fact, gives us an upper hand and an upper edge on many of the people that we have to deal with in our relationships with our neighbors, in our relationships with our friends, you know, our family members, in relationships with our parents, in relationships with our coworkers, in relationships with our children. Just the mere fact that we're on that path to enlightenment, that we're always looking to grow and to be the best person that we can and to tap into resources to create a profound and lasting difference in our life, that automatically, boom, gives us an upper hand and an advantage over dealing with difficult people. And I share this story with this personal story with you because this is something that I've been forced to deal with on more fronts than just one. So now I understand in the first meeting with the client, this woman is going to try to stick it to me. So the next day I was prepared. I thought, what is she like? What doesn't she like? And I actually started playing to her ego. And it almost sounds a little manipulative. It almost sounds a little conniving. But don't forget, we have to survive. And if we're on the path to personal development, to professional enlightenment, to be more connected with God, to be more connected with universal laws and principles so they can work in our favor, to others who may not be where we are spiritually, they're going to look at it as a gentle form of manipulation. But basically, I had to play to her ego because that's all she wanted. She wanted revenge, for lack of a better word, because I chose and I opted not to work for her. And that act of betrayal that she perceived in her mind, she was going to turn up that fire, she was going to put that burner up at every single opportunity she could, even if it made me look incompetent in front of the client, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. You know, whenever you work with a team, you want to look like you're a unified team. You don't want to stick little jabs at the other person because now the person on the other end is going to leave scratching their head like, wait a minute, do they even work together? But beyond that, I really had to take the time to learn her. And so for the subsequent meetings that we had, I knew what she wanted. So while we're in the meetings, I would say, you know what, you are so right. You know what, that is a great idea. You know what, I was just thinking of that, but I'm happy you came up with it first. And don't forget, this extremely difficult person, even though she wasn't my direct boss as a director, she was still a director in this hotel. So I had to give her the same respect because she was a director. She was above me. She was a superior. And it's very painful to our ego and very hurtful to our ego when we have to tuck our tail under. And when we tuck our tail under, we have to almost put our pride aside. But you know something? Just in the book of Proverbs in chapter 15, when I was doing my research for this show, just to make sure I bring forth a powerful lesson, the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So here's a situation that had I gone back word for word, word for word, word for word, what would it have done? It could have cost business. All she wanted to do was feel vindicated, and all she wanted to do was take the credit that she brought in this dynamic sales manager. She brought in this dynamic salesperson, but I betrayed her in her own mind. Another scripture in the Bible that really speaks to this whole issue of dealing with difficult people, "Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out. Thou shalt have paid utmost farthing." basically, and that's the King James Version, basically what happens is when you look at a situation, the first part of Matthew, which really stuck out at me, and I read it also in the New International Version of the Bible, agree with thine adversary quickly. Don't be so quick to argue, to be combative, to be argumentative, because as you're taking the time to learn that person, the more you're combative, the more difficult it's going to be to reach the peace that you're trying to reach just to get the task at hand done and completed. So when you really look at this situation, I had to almost kiss up to her, and it sounds like I hate doing that. I'm not that type of a person. But I kind of had to kiss up to this woman just to make sure my job was done, my job was done well, and that I got the proper accolades that I needed to receive my pat on the back from my direct boss. Before we move into the second piece of really dealing with difficult people, just want to give a big shout-out to everybody who's joined me in the chat room. There's so much activity. Hey, Sandy, who's joining us from Ohio. I've got my buddy True. Hello, my friend. I see I have Trisha in the chat room, and Miss Christine is in the chat room. And hello to Clay Douglas. I've never seen you in the chat room before, but please, welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you. And I see we have a couple of guests in the chat room. So welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad to see everybody here listening in to Life Remix Radio. You all know we are live weekdays at 12 noon. And for those of you that may miss the show, you can download this through iTunes, or you can go directly to the website, or you can just log on to my website and you'll be able to pick up the show. Actually, Hal Elegant says, wow, Sai, this is such good information. I'm dealing with this now. This is something that I dealt with, and everything that I'm sharing with you is stuff that I've dealt with, friends of mine are dealing with now. So I went back, did the research, you know, started referencing. I used so many different books of ancient wisdom, with the Bible being the hallmark book that I used, to really try to work through how do we deal with difficult people. And it's critically important now that we learn to deal with difficult people, because right now everybody has a very short fuse. A lot of people have a short fuse right now because their money is funny. You know, their pockets may not be, you know, as full. We're living in very lean times. People are on edge going to work. So we have to be careful that we're not saying that people are difficult. That's why the first way to deal with difficult people is learn the other person. It may be time-consuming. It may take more time than you care to acknowledge. But once you learn the other person and understand what makes that person tick, it's going to make it much easier for you to be able to deal with this person. I see Mr. Clay Douglas just put in the chat room. Someone asked how he's doing, and he said, I am good. Just thought I might be one of those, quote, difficult people, or so everyone tells me. Well, you know what, Mr. Douglas, if I don't know you, but if people are telling you that you're a difficult person to deal with, I think if different people are telling you the same thing at different times, there has to be a common thread woven into their statements. And, you know, I don't know why people may say that you're a difficult person. It could be that you're engaging in relationships where you have totally opposite views on certain things. It could be any number of things, but I will share, I'm very happy that you're here today, because just joining us today and openly acknowledging in front of so many people that, hey, I just may be one of those difficult people, I want to fix this. And I think that speaks so much more, because the boss that I'm referring to never wanted to admit she was wrong about anything. She never wanted to admit that she was wrong. She never had any inclination, to the best of my ability or to the best of my knowledge, that she was doing anything challenging. Her biggest gripe is, I'm just doing my job. And you know what? People will say, difficult people will say, well, this is who I am. This is me. This is how I get down. And if you don't like it, oh well. I'll give you a quick example, and then we'll get back on topic. Just yesterday, and this is what made me do this show today. I'll share with you right now exactly why today I chose to do a show dealing with difficult people. My son needed a book bag. So yesterday, my husband took him to this store to buy, to purchase a book bag. Now, it's a little difficult to find book bags this time of year. Usually, you know, in September you can, or August, you can find a bunch of them. And even around the holiday season, you can find book bags. But around this time, you typically have to go to sporting goods stores or stores that may be a little bit more expensive, Foot Lockers, to find a book bag. So yesterday, you know, they're standing in line, and there's a woman in front, and they're standing behind this woman, and her friend walks up to her and says, "Here, pay for my stuff. I don't feel like waiting in line." So the friend that's in line in front of my husband and my son turns to her and says, you know, something to the effect of, "Girl, you know that's not right, and, you know, everybody's waiting." And this is what she says: "I don't care if these people don't like it. F them. I don't care. I'm not waiting in line. You're standing here. Why I have to wait? They don't know." And just went on and on and on. And the kicker is that my husband, when he came home and told me what happened, my son is the one that said, "Dad, forget it. Leave the book bag. I don't even want to be here." And it was so stunning and so surprising to me that a teenager can even pick up on the negative energy and the negative vibes of other people. You know, here we all are, I believe everyone that's listening is a seasoned adult. And, you know, my son is the one who initiated the trip to the store because I need a book bag. But he saw the level of ignorance. He saw it so much that he opted to just walk away. He just said, "Dad, I don't want it. Let's go." And so they ended up not getting a book bag yesterday. So now we still have the challenge of getting, you know, a book bag. But I take that back to Mr. Douglas, who's listening in today, who's actually acknowledging, "I may have a problem or I have a challenge in developing relationships because people are telling me I'm difficult." This woman, as I was told the story, was so abrupt and so rude. It just was such a turnoff. And that can happen when you're difficult to deal with. People will turn away from you, and you'll end up being alone, and you'll absolutely have no one. And I just see where Trisha 511 put in the chat room, emotional intelligence, and that's what we all need to have. We all need to have some sense of emotional intelligence. What Ralph Richardson, this is another quote that I found yesterday when I was really researching for today's show, says, "The most precious things in speech are pauses. The most precious things in speech are pauses." It's really, really important to understand you don't have to keep talking all the time. And if you're a person that's dealing with a difficult individual, perhaps sometimes you just have to pause. And that takes us to the second way to deal, my idea of the second way to deal with difficult people, and that's to speak their language. That is to speak their language. And when you start speaking their language, when you start speaking what they're speaking, and you speak in a tongue that they understand, that's already finding a commonality between the two of you. And that is very, very, very important. You have to speak, go to their place, and understand. Have you ever heard the saying, "When in Rome, do as the Romans do"? There's a reason something like that was said, because you have to understand pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's a good one. That's directly from Proverbs. For all my saints out there, that's right from the book of Proverbs. And you know the book of Proverbs is filled with ancient wisdom and anecdotes. There's so much information on really, really how to deal with difficult people. But you have to speak their language. And once you speak their language, it breaks down one of the potential barriers in finding the possibilities in that relationship. And that doesn't mean if they curse, you start cursing too. We always want to take the high road. But we really, one of the mandates of people that are on the path that we are all on is to live peaceably with all men. Remember, we are the ones, especially the people that are listening to today's lesson, we are the ones where the mandate has been placed for us to live to a higher calling, a higher purpose, and live in excellence. So the onus now becomes on us for us to live peaceably with all men and keep our conversation and our manner as holy, however you want to interpret that word holy, as possible. That means if they start acting out and they start cutting up, That's not meant for us to engage in. When I say speak their language, I mean break down any particular barriers or any barriers that become, use your gift of discernment, that if you see or feel or sense any barriers, speak their language and break down any potential barriers that can prohibit you from having a great relationship with this very difficult individual. It's not easy. It is not easy. And that's what I had to do with my boss, well, my director. I had to finagle and work the way she understood it, because working my way was just going to keep forcing us to bump heads, bump heads, bump heads, and bump heads. And we weren't going to do well or get along at any point. Just as a sidebar, if someone can type in the chat room to Mr. Douglas to hit F5 to refresh, perhaps his audio is not working. I'm not sure why. And here's the last piece, very, very, very important piece, is you have to search for the possibilities in the relationship. This is very important. As the individual who has been called to a higher purpose and been called to do more in life, we are the ones, the responsibility now rests with us to find the possibilities in that relationship to make it work. That's a tough one. That's definitely a tough one, because just instinctively we want to argue, we want to be defensive. Think about it. We always want to defend ourselves. We want to make sure that we feel vindicated. We want to make sure that we're protected at all times. But we have to remember that God is in place to protect us. So it's okay to appear a little vulnerable. Most people don't want to ever appear vulnerable, especially in a work environment. We want to make sure somebody has our back. We want to make sure that we have a solid footing in our work environment. We want to make sure people know we're nobody to mess with. These are all things that are self-imposed or really dealt with in our own mind. But as people who have been called to a higher purpose, people who have been called to do more, this is really us putting our ego in check and understanding that it's not about us, it's about them. These are people that are initiating negativity, and it's really a reflection of their inner state expressed externally. These are people that are unhappy with themselves. These are people that are so often bored and unhappy with their own lives that they want to take others down with them. There have been many times when a random person has just left negative comments on my blog, and I check back to see if anyone else responded, and no one else does. These are people who have nothing good. These are people that really are unsure or are dealing with their own issues. And when stuff is all garbled up inside, it exudes. It comes out of their pores. It comes out of them in such a way that makes it appear as though they're very difficult to work with, when in fact they're just going through some inner turmoil. And we have to understand and be very clear with the mandate that has been placed on all of our lives, on all of our lives, all of us who are listening to this show, all of us who are lay people, all of us that may or may not go to church but are on that path, the burden now rests with us to guide these people out of the inner turmoil that they may be experiencing. Because if you think about it, Martin Luther King once said, nonviolence means avoiding not only external physical violence, but also internal violence of spirit. You not only refuse to shoot a man, but you refuse to hate him. And I'll repeat that, because that speaks directly to the third way to deal with difficult people, which is searching for the possibilities in the relationship. Nonviolence, which can be verbal, means avoiding not only external physical violence, but also internal violence of spirit. you not only refuse to shoot a man, but you refuse to hate him. That's very, very important. And that really touches on the core of dealing with difficult people. To deal with difficult people, we can learn the other person all we want. We can speak their language without stooping down to their level. But it is up to us, those who are enlightened and those who are aware and those who are on a higher vibrational playing field, it is up to us to search for the possibilities in the relationship when not dealing with them or just ignoring them is not an option. We become the responsible ones. As much as we may not want to, as much as we may not feel it's our responsibility, it automatically becomes our burden, so to speak, because we're the ones who are enlightened. And what happens is we really start to deal with the ego. When we respond impulsively and just, hey, shoot off at the mouth. Hey, start yelling curses. Hey, start behaving the way they're behaving. It's a natural and honest response. But really, is that the smart thing to do? That's really not, you know, I tell my kids all the time, it's better to keep your mouth closed and have people think you're a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. Just keep quiet. Sometimes it's better to just hold your tongue and check our own ego. Because you know what? It takes two people to argue. Somebody cannot argue with themselves. And that's really what it boils down to. If in fact you're dealing with someone and they're bitter, they have their internal issues, you know what the smart thing to do is? Just keep quiet. What can be resolved by you bickering back and forth? Our egos are always going to be bruised. A bruised ego is part of living a life. It doesn't feel very good in our soul. Our stomach can become tight. We can start having violent thoughts. But responding irrationally is not the answer. Let it turn into a conversation of one. Let them have their own gripe with themselves and let it be a conversation of one. Now, getting back to my director, it was my responsibility because I've been on this path to bettering myself for many, many years, even while I had a quote-unquote real job, as my family puts it. It was my responsibility to search for the possibilities in our relationship. Now, the possibility was definitely there that we're never going to get along. And if, in fact, that's the case, I had to learn how to work with this woman who was always going to be bitter with me because I opted to work for another director when she's the one who got me the job. I can't fix that feeling of betrayal that she has towards me. I cannot fix that. That's something that she's responsible for. That's something that she has to work through on her own. I can't be there at night when she drops to her knees or when she has her quiet time of prayer and meditation and say, please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. It's not going to work. She has to evolve into a better person. I can't be responsible for what they do. I can only be responsible for what Saida is doing. So as I'm searching for the possibilities in our relationship, the possibility exists that we can still work on pieces of business together. And that was very, very important to me, that we need to work on particular pieces of business together for the sake of my job, for the sake of my career, and for the sake of my paycheck every 14 days. I had to make sure I checked my ego, which was very difficult because not only was this person my boss or a boss, but my job was contingent upon my success or me successfully working with this individual. And I knew that anger feeds anger, negativity feeds negativity, and that it would all become a waste of energy. Rarely can any good come out of reacting against someone who's in a negative state. I don't think it's going to happen. It may, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's only going to trigger anger and an additional reactive response from that person. And if we do respond impulsively, if I responded to her with a resounding F you, where am I? I now am written up, and there's now a mark in my professional file that I was insubordinate, that I used inappropriate language in a work environment, and a host of other things. I could have been suspended, and worse, I could have been terminated, all because I chose to act and respond impulsively. We all have invested energy in defending ourselves, and we all feel more psychologically compelled to defend ourselves going forward. And have you ever noticed that the angrier our thoughts become, the angrier that we become? Think about it. Just think about this really quickly as just a quick sidebar. You start thinking on something that, or somebody that wronged you. All of a sudden, your heart starts racing. Your hands may begin to shake. You may begin to sweat. Do you see how there's a direct correlation between what's in your mind and what happens to you physically? My husband says this all the time. He who angers you controls you. He who angers you controls you. My husband says that all the time to my boys because they're, oh, I can't stand this teacher. They get on my nerves. Or I can't stand this person. And he always tells them the person that angers you controls you. And as enlightened beings and spiritual beings that God has placed on this earth, the last thing we want to do is be controlled, number one, but be controlled by, I want to say the enemy, but controlled by the opposition, controlled by the opposing side of what we're trying to do. Where the attention goes, your energy is going to flow. And in a work environment, and I'm specifically, when I was developing today's lesson, I really put it in the context of a work environment because many of us are forced to deal with difficult people in our work environment. Those are people that we can't just get away from. Those are people that we can't just close our door. Some people don't even have an office door to close, and you still have to deal with these people. It's crazy. It's crazy, but it's just something that we're going to have to deal with and something that we're going to have to go through. Just a big shout-out before I move on and continue on talking. Just want to give a big shout-out to a lot of people who have joined us in the chat room. Wow, so much stuff is being said. How Elegant says she's back. Thank you very, very much. She said some of the things that I'm saying are so true. She's also saying, like, this is one of her supervisors. Trisha511 is saying that this is great information, Sai. Thank you. Curly just joined us in the chat room, as has Intimate Conversations, another guest. And Clay and Christine and True and Trisha, everyone's still sticking around. So thank you very, very much, everybody, for spending time with me today. And you know something? Sandy just put something in the chat room that is right on point. She says one of her supervisors is exactly like the person who I have been describing. and I know Sandy, who loves the Lord just as much as any of us does and walks the same path of being the best us we can. But she put in the chat room, geez, I want to slap her. And let me tell you, this particular director that I had to deal with, I wanted to slap her many, many days, especially, you know, when I wanted to slap her and I didn't and I would come home crying, I felt like a parent. You know, when a child comes in and they're coming in tears because a bully has picked on them, I felt like my husband was physically turning my body around, facing me back to the door and giving me a big boot to go back out there and fight back hard. But when you're in a professional environment or if you're dealing with unruly neighbors or unruly friends, you can't fight them back. That's just not good. Yes, Trisha, I see what you put in the chat room. Yes, sometimes that's what we want to do. But the most profound thing that Sandy just put in the chat room, how elegant, she says, but I smile. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. She says, she smiles. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said one time, treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he could be, and he will become what he should be. Treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he could be, and he will become what he should be. And that is when you put the onus back on these people, you take that mirror, you turn it around, put it in their face, and show them exactly what they look like. I was forced, because I wanted to keep my job, to search for the possibilities in the relationship with this person, with the professional relationship I had with this individual. I had absolutely no choice but to find the light in a very, 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 very dark place, day in, day out, knowing I'm going to see this woman. I actually had a door on my office. I had an office, a very nice office with a door, and I purposely never closed my door, because she would come by and she would stand outside my office, maybe just to hear what I was saying. When I say this woman just was mean, I did whatever I could in deeds and in words to hold out an olive branch. And now I tell you, this woman is one of the nicest, dearest, sweetest people in my life right now. I don't know what she was going through. Remember, we talked about that. A lot of times when people are difficult, it's not necessarily because they want to be difficult. It could be that they're going through something of their own, and it's all this stuff that's brewing up on the inside that comes out of them. She asks about my family. She asks about my grandmother. She asks about my husband. One of the nicest people. It could be perhaps because I don't work for her anymore, but I really feel it's because I did so much. I took the hits. I took the punches. I took all of these things to show her, to really show her, just like Ralph Waldo Emerson says, treat a man as he could be and he'll become what he should be, to see what she really could be. You can be nice to people. And to those of you that are experiencing challenges in the workplace, it can be hell sometimes dealing with people. There's the cutthroatness. I don't even know if that's the proper way to say that. But, you know, there are all of these very tense environments, and everybody today has such a short fuse. You don't even know. I won't even try to cut somebody off with road rage. You don't know, they can have a gun in their car. I just watched on MSNBC over the weekend, this woman who wanted to be a model, she was in a small town in the middle of the country. She wanted to become a model. She dyed her hair, but she was in this little teeny-weeny hick town in the middle of nowhere, but she was really trying to do good things, and something happened, and she got into an argument with her mother. One thing you should never do when you're angry is get behind the wheel of a car. She got behind a wheel of a car. She drove, she sped through this town, back roads, and slammed into the back of a Honda. And the Honda was containing three men who were musicians. One was 39, the other was 35, and the other was only 23 years old. And they were all musicians. I think they were going to a gig or coming home from a gig. And she lived. All she had was, I think, a broken bone in her foot. She had a sprained ankle. That's what she had. And they tried to question her in the hospital, and she was saying, I wish I would have died. I should have died, which were giving the officers little clues that she may have done this intentionally. And so with those little clues and those little windows into her brain, they brought in forensic people, and they brought in, you know, people, how they can test the velocity and the speed and the angles. And it showed that as she was approaching this Honda, she sped up. She sped up. She deliberately tried to hurt herself and in turn hurt other people. And I know you all have heard the saying, hurt people, hurt people. That's what happens when we're dealing with difficult people. These people are hurt. Mr. Douglas, if there's something that anybody on this show, if you're hurting about anything, this show is a very loving and warm place where you can work through whatever challenges you may be experiencing, because we're all here to learn and grow together and develop together. That's really what it's all about. But we all know that hurt people hurt people. Now, here's this woman who was hurting. She got behind a car, the wheel of a car. She wanted to hurt herself and ended up hurting three innocent people and unfortunately went on trial for first-degree murder, all because she was hurt. Search for the possibilities in every single relationship. Learn to speak the language of other people and really take the time to learn the other person. That way you can really start to see where their windows, their open windows, to extract the best out of that person, to extract the best out of that relationship, to extract any good that could possibly come out of that relationship. It was just put in the chat room by Holly Yo, this economical crisis, Obama will make life to be better. Okay, well, we're not talking about, I'm not talking about songs, but I read your comment because I really want to talk about, I just saw your comment about Obama, and that'll take us a little bit off topic. But by all means, please feel free to share as much as you would like in the chat room. How Elegant just put in the chat room, first-degree murder, she did not plan to kill those people intentionally. I see second degree. Well, she was charged with first degree because when they started doing all the forensic testing, they did not see skid marks. They didn't see any way where she tried to stop. And I think when it comes to vehicular homicide, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer or an expert, but I do watch a lot of court TV, and I do watch a lot of Law and Order. So I'm getting all my legal know-how from Law and Order and court TV. But I do know if it's a vehicular manslaughter, like if you're sliding in ice and you kill somebody, it's obviously going to be a lesser charge than something like speeding into a car. And when they tested the road and they checked the timing of the accident and the time that she had given that she left her house, they were able to ascertain from those facts that she was really on a mission of ill intent. You know, that's if I'm in New York City and you cannot get from Canal Street to 125th Street in 10 minutes. Well, you know, late at night you can because the roads are clear. But if I'm speeding up 8th Avenue and I get from Chinatown to Harlem in 20 minutes, they're going to know and be able to tell just by history and time and a whole lot of other variables that I was speeding. And that's exactly what they did to her. She was speeding, and they said she sped at this top speed for over a mile. And as she approached the red light, she didn't even give any sign of stopping. And also when she started singing, talking, she said she was really looking for a train track because she wanted to park her car on a train track so she can die. And, you know, that is indicative of the fact that she just was not, you know, doing the right thing. But it all goes back to hurt people, hurt people. So when you're dealing with difficult people, as us, as enlightened people, we have to know and understand we're dealing with hurt people. We're dealing with people that have their egos devastated, that have gone through challenges and have not fully worked through their challenges. And it's really up to us not necessarily to be the moving force to help them work through it, even though that would help, but to really offer some level of assistance to these people to help them go through the drama that they're going through. Oh, this is excellent. How Elegant just put in the chat room, I see the point. One moment changes so many lives. I tell my godchild this all the time, like fighting, someone can die. Like what happened here, a fight and someone died over some BS. Trisha511 put a huge lesson, and How Elegant put a horrible lesson. It really is, and that speaks to the fact that we can't really control, we can't let our ego and our emotions control us. Even though it's difficult, extremely difficult, we have to try, and I keep hammering this, as enlightened people. Don't forget, everybody that's listening to this show right now or will listen to it later through a download, the responsibility rests with us to go back and pull other people out of darkness. None of us here are perfect, so we can't judge. But I know dealing with this very difficult person, it put me through hell. It put me through turmoil. And this was somebody that I worked with, so it's not as though I could just be like, psh, that's so-and-so, and I'm just not dealing with her or whatever. You know what I'm saying? This is a situation where I was forced to really deal with this. Thank you, True. I see the time. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're down to our last couple of minutes. I just want to wrap up and share a couple of final words with everybody before we start to wind down. Thank you, Trisha511, for saying great job, Sai. This is, as I said on, at the top of the show, I never thought dealing with difficult people was really a subject or really something to look at until a very close friend of mine dealt with her neighbor, and I shared that at the top of the show. She, her neighbor was horrible, and she can't just pick up and move away from her neighbor. Another friend of mine is dealing with a very difficult husband. They're not actually married, but they've been together for 12, 13 years, and they have two children together. And she's dealing with going through a difficult time. And I can't stress enough that we have to be the ones to be the light in this world. It is hard, and you all know, for the people who've been listening to this show for so long, you all have seen me cry, you've seen me smile, you've seen me laugh, you have probably seen me, you've heard me rant and rave about my children, you've heard about my good times and bad times, but that's all on the path and all on the road for us being enlightened and empowered individuals, and I understand my responsibility, and I hope everyone else understands and accepts theirs. And understands that dealing with difficult people is more of a spiritual thing, not a fleshy thing, and that this difficult person has been placed in our lives so we can help guide them through the inner turmoil that they're having. I hope everybody got that because it's so true. That difficult person has been placed in our life for us to help them and help them work through their issues, or somebody else would be dealing with it. So thank you to everyone who's in the chat room, High Road, Curly, Holly Yo, Intimate Conversations, our guests who checked in with us, Clay Douglas, Christine True, How Elegant, Trisha. I see I have a lot of callers. Wow. Curvy Queen was actually listening, and she dialed in. We've got a caller from 919, a caller from 954. Thank you, everybody. This was a very, very packed show today, and thus concludes our lesson for today. Remember, everyone, we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do, or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for being receptive and open to new information. I love you all for listening. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'll see you next time. It's your girl, Sai Brown, and I'll talk with you soon. Bye.